Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And guys, this will be the last episode in our series of pop quiz on deal structuring, where Jeff quizzes me on kind of how to structure some things, and then we go through examples. So if you haven't heard our last couple episodes, go back and listen to those. Last episode, we talked about how to structure a deal in which you would wholesale to a landlord. So we went over, net operating income, taking the gross minus your expenses, timesing that by 12, and then coming up with a monthly cash flow. And then we talked about, how can we offer a piece of that cash flow to our seller and a piece to our landlord buyer. And then we talked about, we actually went over some offers that you could structure based on that cash flow. So this episode, we're going to talk about subordination and how we could structure a subordination offer on this deal. And just to recap this deal, it was seven houses. Seller was asking $395 for all seven. The rents all are rented at $5,100 a month. That's total rents. There's been various upgrades done, to roofs and AC units and that kind of thing. New flooring in some of the units. The rents are low. You have room to raise the rents. And you can probably reasonably expect to gain another $700 to $1,000 a month in cash flow just by raising the rents. All expenses are paid by the tenants. So electricity, gas, water, sewer, garbage, those are all paid by the tenants. The expenses on it, taxes was $658 a month, insurance was $395. We put a management fee of 8% in there, and then 10% for repairs/capital expenses. And so just to recap that total, we're at, for the expenses, it was $1,953 a month, times that by 12, that's $23,436. And then rents were $61,440 a year. So that leaves a net operating income of $38,004. And if you divide that by 12, monthly cash flow on that was $3,167 a month. I'm giving you all these numbers so that you can kind of follow along in this example, and we can just jump right into subordination.
Well, let me ask you a few quick questions, Jonathan, and that way we get a little better idea of when you would use this, when you don't, and why. So how do you get a no money down deal if you were looking for one for yourself? And there's a number of ways. So, throw out a couple of ideas.
Well, you don't offer the seller anything.
So you can just say, hey, I'll pay you $500 a month and, with no money down.
Right. So that's okay, one way.
That's one way.
The other way is seller subordination, which we're going to talk about, because seller subordination is you going out there, finding a lender that will lend in first position on the property. And then the seller takes their equity in a second position. So there's a first position trust, there's a first position trust deed and note or mortgage that's recorded on the property for your lender. So you can go out there to any REIA out there and probably find someone that will lend, some money on a deal at, a pretty good interest rate, say like 6%, 8%, something like that. And that is a way that by borrowing that money, giving that as the down payment to the seller, you're out of pocket, nothing that way. What's another way?
Another way is to borrow a down payment, right? That's not your money. And so there's a number of different ways. You gave a really good explanation of seller subordination. Now, we've talked about a number of times seller subordination on our podcast, and we always do it in a way where the down payment, the money we're borrowing in first position, is a smaller amount, right? You should understand something. Seller subordination the loan amount can be a lot more. In our examples, the loan amount typically is 20%, 25% of the entire purchase price. You could do 50%, you could do 75%, you could, it's probably not going to work as well on single family residential. It's probably not going to work actually on any residential, because most lenders aren't going to allow you to borrow the down payment, right? So in reality, hey, if I said you've got a $100,000 house, Jonathan, and you want $100,000, and I say, well, let me borrow $80,000 against the house, and I want you to take back a second for $20,000, right? I would probably want to try to go to the bank and say, hey, the seller is going to finance my down payment, and I want you to lend 80%. And most residential are not going to do that. And some commercial may. And so that's where that becomes a little more interesting, because, hey, if you have the net worth to qualify for a 70, 75, 80% loan on a commercial deal, that, hey, now you really are. You're letting the seller finance your down payment for you over some time. Yep. So in most of our examples, we use a much smaller amount, and that's probably because that's what I use more in my business. But just so that everyone understands, you can do more. The real question is that when we're borrowing this money, what's the one? Well, tell me a couple of potential. First of all, why would we want to do this? Why would we want to offer this to the seller? What does it give the seller, if anything?
So it gives the seller kind of more security, because they're getting a big down payment, but it gives them more of their equity up front, really.
So they could put more money in their pocket up front than what we're offering on some of our other offers.
Yeah. So it offers more to the seller. So if the seller needs more money, they need more of their equity up front, this is a solution for that. And this works even if they have, if they owe a small debt on the property and that needs to be wiped out, we can borrow in first position, wipe out that existing debt. We would owe our lender, a first position trust deed or mortgage. And then that gets the seller just more money that they may need for whatever the reason. For us, it's the benefits are no money out of our own pocket for the down payment. So we can actually make more money on our wholesale fee. So we were talking about kind of wholesaling this thing for a $50,000 or $55,000 fee. Well, if we're able to get the seller to accept a seller subordination, rather than in our last example, we talked about paying the seller, $40,000 down or, $35,000 down or something like that. Well, we can actually keep all of that assignment fee. And so we could collect that, $55,000 assignment fee for ourselves and just pass on the terms to our landlord buyer.
I agree. But I will tell you this. This has been my experience. When you're trying to wholesale a subordination, most people don't understand what you've structured. So it's probably more confusing to them than it's worth. And immediately they think that they're going to have to bring in that down payment anyway. that money has to come from them rather than that it could be borrowed. So I would tell you, more than likely, if you're working out a subordination deal, it's so that you can acquire this property yourself with no money out of pocket. Okay. I would tell you that's the better route to go without having to go through the entire, you know, let me show you how this is going to work kind of thing. And you brought something up, is that the way that we're structuring it, if there is any debt, that could be a deal breaker, right? Because depending on how much debt there is, we may not be able to get that cashed out. And the way that this works is, whether it's private money, it's bank financing, it's whatever, it needs to be borrowed on the property in first position. That means that any debt needs to be cashed out. So if someone owes, you know, $250,000 on a $600,000 home, that means that you've got to bring the first $250,000 that's going toward this is going to go to paying it off. You know, then the seller starts getting some money. And but that's going to defeat the purpose of what we're trying to do. Because think about this. If there's two major issues with subordination, right? One is that the more money that you borrow privately, right? So if we were going to go to, you know, a RIA and ask anyone that's got a 401k, a self-directed IRA, how would you like to make 6% on your money secured, you know, 20%, 25% loan to value on a piece of, you know, solid property? You would have takers. There would be people that would be interested.
Yeah.
But 6% is probably more than what we'd be paying the seller with owner financing, correct? I mean, so a lot of times we will structure that loan as interest only, trying to keep that payment down.
Yeah.
However, it's still more than what we typically like. So let's look at our example, and now you'll get a little better idea of what I'm talking about. So you went through all the numbers, and yep. Remember, we have $3,167 to work with cash flow wise, and there's nothing owed on this property.
Yeah. Right? So I came up with a seller subordination offer. If I could just go over that.
Go for it.
So what I would offer, and I just penciled this out here, seller subordination offer, the purchase price would be 350 purchase with 100K down, and that we would borrow in first position from a hard money lender, or, you know, someone from a RIA with an IRA or something. And I just used, so I tried to figure out the monthly payment on that. 100K, I just used 8% because, you know, worst case scenario, that's probably what you would find. You might be able to do better, like we talked about, at 6%, but 8%, that would be that at, you know, interest only. That monthly payment would be $666.66 a month. Okay. So that would be what you would be paying your lender in first position. And then that would leave us, you know, from the seller in second position, we would actually be borrowing $250K, and I just put, you know, 3% interest. That would give us $1,054 a month to the seller. So total payments are about $1,720 a month. Okay. So with our interest only payment to our lender, and then that $1,054 to our seller, it's about $1,720 roughly. So that leaves us a cash flow still, you know, on the existing numbers that we're playing with, of $1,446 a month in cash flow.
Okay. How long of a term?
So I would just do a 5-year.
So can we figure out what that balloon payment will be?
Yeah. So 5-year.
So you have a $250,000 second.
Yep.
That you're doing at 3%.
3% interest.
Amortized over 30 years, right?
Yep. 360 for N.
So payment of $1,054.
Yep.
With a 60-month balloon.
Correct. So 60 months for in
265, right?
Future value. Yep. 222, 265.
Okay. So there's things I like about this offer and things I don't.
Okay. Let's go over them.
What do you think they might be?
Not enough principal pay down at the end.
That's one of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is the one thing that you always have to keep in mind. So if you're offering interest only on that first mortgage that you're borrowing privately, the 100 grand.
Yep. You still owe that.
At the end of 5 years, you still owe 100 grand.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And at 250, you have paid that down, you know, 27,000, 28,000. But unless this property, either you're buying it at a pretty good discount, and you did discount them, so you would get the, you know, you're basing this on the value of the property, not what you bought it for. So
correct.
Let's say that the property was worth 400. You're at 322. You're actually pretty close to being at 80% loan to value. However, I think that's where your second issue is going to come in, is that, you know, if they're asking 395, we talked that they would be open to maybe coming down to around 370.
Uh-huh.
To me, that's where your cash offer is, right? At this 350 mark, and see where that gets you. What I'd rather do here is structure this where, hey, I want for them to have a reason to take this. And if our offers are similar to what we did last episode, you know, they're closer to 400 or around 400,000. So maybe this is more like 385, 390 in that price point, because it is a pretty significant discount.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what was, let's go over your offer.
It's pretty similar. So what I did is 390
purchase price.
Yep.
Okay.
I did 100 grand too.
100K down.
But okay. I absolutely believe I'm getting 6%.
Okay.
Okay. That's $500 a month.
Okay.
Okay. And I want them to carry 290.
Okay. 290K.
And so what I did on this one is I did principal only for 1250 a month for 2 years.
Okay.
So
290K principal only.
1250 times 12. That's going to get me $30,000 principal pay down, right?
Okay.
Right there.
So 390K principal only. What was the payment?
1250.
50. Okay. For
2 years.
2 years.
And then I am doing 1250 at 2.5% simple hybrid interest for an additional 4 years.
Then 1250.
So, but what you would have to do in this case, this is a little complicated, is so you would take your 290, right? That's what you're starting with, and first figure out where you're at balance wise after 2 years. So the principal pay down will be $30,000. So in reality, we're starting at 260 when we start to figure out the additional 4 years.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So if we put in 260 as our balance.
Yep. For present value.
2.5%. And we're going to do 48 months at 1250 negative and solve for future value. We're going to come up to 224, 280, which is really close to where you were.
250. What'd you get?
224, 280.
Okay, that's 30. What I got. Okay.
Yeah. Which is super close to where you came up with.
Uh-huh.
At 222, 265. at 3%, but I offered them a much higher price, right? I offered them 40,000 more than what they were getting. So, and they will probably make, my guess is, you know, they'll probably get around 400, 403, something like that. They would net by doing this. Now, is this their most ideal situation? Probably not, because they'd make more money on one of the other scenarios that we created last episode, where, you know, they were getting, you know, a 3 or 4% somewhere, more standard interest rate, even if we did a hybrid at 405, 408, something like that. They're still, they're going to do better even on a 3-year term than staying in this for 6 years, right?
Yeah.
However, if they need this cash up front, that's why I want this to be competitive with the other ones, because, hey, I want them to look at this if the cash up front requirement is required. Now I could come in with my cash offer of 350, or maybe even a cash offer of 345 and a short-term finance offer at 360.